Hey, well, good morning, guys, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So today is Tuesday, January 7th, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in How It Works, page 69, third paragraph there that says, whatever our ideal turns out to be, through that one paragraph ending with, the right answer will come if we want it. And we'll be commenting on just that one paragraph. So today's readers are 12 Steps, Herbert F., 12 Traditions, Barbara P., Rena L. will be reading the text, Craig F. will be reading page 164, and Ashley F. is our backup reader. The newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and our second hour host is Eileen M. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, January 6, 2025, in case you'd like to hear that one, again, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 22054, 22054, and the 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 22055, 22055. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Can everybody please make sure they're muted? I can hear background noise, so just make sure you've muted star one, please. All right, so our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now have Herbert F. read the 12 steps of OA. Hey, good morning, Herbert. Herbert, star one.
Good morning, I'm Herbert F., a recovered compulsive overeater, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I will pass.
Well, thank you so much, Herbert F. And now Barbara P. will read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, everybody. Barbara P., compulsive overeater in Georgia. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA use. Two, for our group purpose, the one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara P. Appreciate that. So here is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in How It Works. We're on page 69, third paragraph. It starts with whatever our ideal turns out to be, through that one paragraph ending with the right answer will come if we want it. And we'll be commenting on just that one paragraph. So Rena L. is going to get us started. Good morning, Rena.
Good morning. This is Rena L., recovered compulsive overeater from Toledo, Ohio. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. We must be willing to make amends or we have done harm, provided that we do not bring about still more harm in so doing. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it. What to say about this paragraph? So I guess what I want to start with is just the willingness that's in the first two sentences, and it's stated twice, that, you know, we do the work around the amends process. And for me, that sometimes has meant praying, writing, talking with people, my sponsor and other people. Sometimes I've written letters to people. But just because I do that work doesn't mean it's right for me to make the amends with that person, to reach out to them, especially in the area of sex and relationships. And sometimes it's helpful for me when I'm not sure to start with checking my motives. For example, if I want to show somebody that's been in my life in the past how spiritually or even physically fit I now am, it's probably going to be harmful, right, for me to reach out to that person, at least without doing more work. Or if I'm looking for some old vicarious pleasure or some old thrill, or just seeing what someone's up to. In this area, it's really delicate reaching out to people. We don't know what's going on in their current relationships. And so I just need a lot of support in this area before I go contacting people. But willingness is key. Just because I'm willing to make the amends, and I need to be, sometimes I need to do the work to get willing, it doesn't mean it's right to reach out to that, to reach out to specific people. And then the last two sentences about in meditation, asking God what we should do and that the right answer will come if we want it. I also think those two sentences are just as critical, because while I reach out to my sponsor and sometimes I talk to other people in my life, outside help, other recovery friends and support, I've received calls, sometimes outreach calls, where someone says, my sponsor says if I don't make this amends, I'm going to eat again. And I'm troubled by it because I think about what how it ends in this section. You know, we ask God, we ask our higher power what we should do, and that even though someone can be willing and open to support of their sponsor and elsewhere, ultimately it comes down to our relationship with our higher power and what we determine within our own conscience about what's right. And so I just wanted to point that out. Someone once called with an amends that would actually have left them homeless if they made the amends. And, you know, my suggestion was pray about it and pause. The fact that your sponsor is saying you'll use again if you don't make this amends right now. And I really, I don't know what was right for that person. I just, that amount of pressure has never been useful in my life. But in any event, I'm so grateful. However people do this, there's so many different ways to work these steps. And I'm just grateful, or to interpret what it says in the big book, but I'm just so grateful to have the steps and the support in another day of abstinence. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Rena L., for getting us started. Okay, guys, we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we do value your experience, we do ask you to limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So that means if you shared yesterday or last Friday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And please keep your share to 3 minutes. Give me your first name, initial of your last, where you're calling from.
Lisa B. in South
Lisa
Carolina.
Lisa B. from Rhode Island.
Helen B. from New York.
Lisa.
Macho, Massachusetts.
There was somebody
Nancy
before,
R.
Lisa,
Illinois.
From New York.
Kelly B.
Wait, slow down. All right, so I have Lisa B., Felicia D., Marge O., Nancy R., I think Julie R., I think Kelly B., maybe. Who did I miss?
You got Melissa B.
And S.
Nope,
from New York.
But I do now, Melissa.
Yeah.
And S. from New York.
I still didn't get your first name. Brooklyn? Who's from New York?
Carolyn S. from New York.
Oh, my God, Carolyn. Okay, thanks.
Huh?
All right, I got you that time. Here's who I heard. If you didn't say your name, let me know. If you did say your name already and I didn't hear you, let me know. I got Lisa, Felicia, Marge, Nancy, Julie, Kelly, Melissa, and Carolyn. If I missed it, please let me know. All right, well, that seems like a really great lineup. So let's push star one and have a nice, quiet meeting. We'll get started with Lisa B., followed by Felicia D. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. There are some words I circled in this paragraph, and I did get so much out of the lead person that shared. I circled doing, ask God, and if we want it. And, you know, so I'm growing. This is a growing process. I don't arrive. And, you know, it made me think about when we read in How It Works that the point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. So this is all being uncovered to me. And, you know, the other thing I'm learning in this process is, the first thing I just want to share is I'm learning that my heart is very hard and kind of closed over, and that, you know, I need a miracle to have that broken through. And the awareness that I get, the awakening, the relationship I get with my higher power, you know, is really what's changing that. And that's through these steps. And my higher power is never lacking in any understanding or compassion, and he has infinite knowledge to share. But I hear it, you know, through the rooms, through the people, through the step process in my prayer and meditation. But I have to get unblocked. And then I love it says we must be willing. I have to be willing. And, you know, it's funny because when I came into this meeting, I often would hear willingness is overrated. You know, I have to take action, action, action. But I do know that willingness is the key, you know, in the third step to turn that key. And I have to pray. But I've been doing this work, you know, like I've come up to this point. So we must be willing. And then before I'm doing anything, so before they let me out of the house, you know, to be interacting with others and making amends, I don't want to be causing more harm. up to this point, you know, I've been on the couch, you know, I've been doing my steps 1 through 5, you know, just doing that writing and the work and the conceptualizing, understanding steps 1 through 3, but I'm going to be getting ready to, you know, interacting with others. So I don't want to be doing any more harm. So I have to ask God in meditation, and the way I can have a clear contact with God is through prayer and meditation. And someone's typing very fast. And if we want it, you know, the right answer will come. And, you know, I just got this morning in my prayer and meditation that my heart is very hard. And I've been abstinent and recovered for 9 years this month. And I've gone through this work repeatedly several times. And I just keep learning so much. And once again, I've come to another layer. And it just comes in layers, you know, but I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful. And there's so much hope and promise here. So I pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Lisa B. That's Lisa from South Carolina. All right, next up we have Felicia D. followed by Marge O. Good morning, Felicia.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you everyone else for their service this morning. I appreciate it. Thank you for the lead share and to hear Lisa too. I'm just really keying in today on the ideals, and I know I was listening to something last night that was talking about the ideals. This is my busy time for work. It's just like 12, 14-hour days, and this is the time that I can lean into self-sufficiency and start to separate from the program. And so I'm so grateful that, you know, I've heard other people talk about ideals more than just being for the sex ideals, although important. But to realize, like, I need to be a productive member of the program, even if this is my busy season. It's not like I get to take a season off from recovery. Like, I am needing to have this prayer and meditation, needing to work on my 4th step, needing to go to these meetings. Like, it's so important. And I was listening to Kim G's 4th step recording the other day and listening to her talk about how ideals ebb and flow and life changes. And at one point she had an ideal as being a daughter, and then it switched to being the daughter for her mom and being a daughter for her dad, and how we can manage and massage these ideals and grow with them as we grow as people and as our life changes. I just love that. I have to be honest and say that for decades I came here and I really didn't get it and didn't care about this stuff. I just wanted to lose 100 pounds or more. And I didn't understand how much weight there was in between my ears with my will, and how bonded to myself I was, how I could be abstinent, weighing and measuring perfectly, and still completely plagued in my thoughts to this disease. And more, I feel like that is what God reveals to me. And so I'm so grateful that I can go to Him and ask for help. And sometimes this is a time that I can be just really flustered. And this morning I just felt so comforted in the 15-minute prayer meditation app that I had for today. And then the chance to be able to say the set-aside prayer and do these other things. So I'm just feeling very grateful for my recovery today and wanted to share. Thank you, Pat.
Well, thank you so much. That was Felicia D. from Rhode Island. Next up, we have Marge O. followed by Nancy R. Hey, Marge, good morning. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. Marge O. from Massachusetts. Recovered and extremely grateful. And thank you for your service, Kelly. I wanted to speak today because my big book sponsor said I hadn't been talking enough. So I said, okay, today's the day. And what I found here, and thank you for the earlier shares, they helped so much, especially the lead share. You know, I didn't think much about this section of the book years ago when I was studying and learning and growing and changing. But I do know I was this person, selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate. And I didn't actually, you know, realize how much I had hurt, you know, people with that attitude and that that poor read on other people, how my behavior affected other people, and especially with with my partner, my husband, and how deep this goes, because it isn't just with him as far as my behavior goes, that, you know, that feeling when you show up with a really pretty dress and your hair looks good and your weight isn't way out of whack yet, you know, when I was much younger. And I didn't realize that I was trying to dig up some jealousy or, you know, make him pay more attention to me. I didn't realize that until I came here and I studied this book more and more. And as somebody said, just learning and growing and taking a look at the power that I had, which was not up to me. I didn't realize that I could reach to my higher power and be a different person and have a happier marriage and just a happier life, in the sense that more satisfied, and the willingness to say, yeah, I was that person. I hate saying that to all of you. Who wants to really admit this stuff? And yet, by saying that and offering that up to other people, and knowing that I have changed, that I don't behave like that, that I'm really totally different when it comes to all of my activities and, you know, my attitudes towards people, and that if I want somebody to notice me, how about they notice that I do something good for them, or I reach out and I spend extra time with someone that's really lonesome, those kinds of things, because I feel like this all comes under this, you know, this attitude and this behavior under this heading. And that just to know that whatever my ideal is, and I've written it many a time over the years, that I'm willing to make a change and to meditate and to know that my higher power has changed me, that the answers did come and they still come. They don't just stop coming. The more I meditate, the more I talk about this kind of, you know, this book, and try to follow the directions here, because they are pretty simple. They're not easy, but they're pretty simple.
That's time, Marge.
And so I will close. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marge O. from Massachusetts. All right, next up we have Nancy R., followed by Julie R. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. This is Nancy R. in Illinois, recovered compulsive overeater. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. This last paragraph we read yesterday and this one remind me that I did write out relationship ideals when I was working the fourth step and fifth step. And I need to go back. I want to go back and look at those ideals and see how I am doing with growing towards them. I know that, out of my, part of me that wants to be in charge and control and thinks I know everything and my way is the best way and I want everything to go the way I want it to go, I am very demanding in my intimate relationships, and there's a lot of humility in continuing to grow towards the ideals that I have for my intimate relationships. And anyway, this is just a really good reminder to go back and open up that writing and take a look at that and see how I've given this part of my life to God and how I need to continue to give it to God and ask for direction and ask God to guide my thoughts, my actions, and my feelings. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy R. from Illinois. Next up, we have Julie R., followed by, I think it was Kelly B., but we'll find out. Julie R., you're up.
Hi. Thanks, Kelly. Julie R., recovered compulsive overeater. This is such a fantastic part of working the steps, because it says, right, whatever our idea turns out to be. So I needed to write, you know, quote unquote, a sex idea, but it really didn't mean that. It meant that I had to create a relationship idea, a husband idea. How was I going to act with integrity now? How was I going to fulfill being a spiritual person, living a spiritual life? And, you know, it was hard to do it the first time because I wasn't sure. But it's like, I have to read this at least once a week. Because I'll forget. It's about being faithful, honest, kind. It's not bringing bitterness, not, you know, flirting with other people, etc. So it's like, that's what I have to live with. I just can't make an amends and continue to do harmful acts. And I have a sister idea. My sister who's in memory care, I have another sister idea, which I need to redo. I have friendship ideas. It goes on and on because I have to continue to clear that wreckage and prevent having more wreckage for people. So I just love that. We ask God what we should do about each specific matter, and it changes. I have to do another ideas in the next couple of days because the relationship is changed. I can't afford to act like the old Julie. I can't afford to do what I want to do because my life will become a shamble. So these ideas are very important, and I'm looking forward to when my sponsee is ready to do them. So with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Julie R. from California. Next up, we have Kelly. Not sure the initial of your last name, followed by Melissa C. Kelly, you're up.
Hi.
Initial of your
Hi, Kelly. This is the other Kelly, B as in boy, from New York. Thank you for your service. The reading today reminded me of what I was reading with a sponsee this morning from the doctor's opinion on XXVII, and it says, in nearly all cases, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. And that's the real ideal for me. And then the Big Book also says on page 85 that every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. You know, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And sometimes I say, thy will, not mine, be done, and I don't really think it through. It just becomes automatic. And so today I have to go deeper with this ideal, and it says to me, whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow towards it. And so, God, how can I best serve you? And I'm gonna find out what that answer is in meditation. We're going to ask God, what do we do about each specific matter? And in regards to my marriage, it's where I have to practice my program the most. For me, it's probably the hardest area to show love. Well, that I can give lip service to, but to show love and tolerance, well, that is not what my husband gets from me often. And are the other relationships in my life getting love and tolerance? And so what I'm going to do just for today is I'm going to stay abstinent. That's going to be my number one ideal. And I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to seek him in prayer and meditation, and I'm going to clean up the wreckage of my past. And then I'm going to try and help others through love and tolerance. And thank you, God, I don't have to reinvent the wheel. The Big Book is really specific. They don't mince words, and they're not vague about it. They tell us exactly what the direction, and like somebody else said, it's not easy, but it's simple. And we just do what we're told, and it will happen. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly B. from New York. So next up, we have Melissa C., followed by Carolyn S. Hey, good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in New York. And Kelly B. actually said so much of what I was thinking that, yeah, these ideals that I'm, you know, they're not just like Melissa's ideals. They're not just like, oh, I'm just going to sit and, I don't know, make decisions about the way I want my life to be, the way that I want my, you know, my family to run, the way that I want to interact with my husband and my kids or my boss. But it's ideals that are grounded and a power greater than myself, that these are ideals about rebuilding my life, and that, you know, growing, you know, a willingness to grow. I don't know about you all, but I never seem to grow without some pain. Growing pains, growth hurts. And I've never had, like, although I love sun, you know, sunshine and laying on the beach, I've not had great spiritual growth on the beach. When I seem to have great spiritual growth is when I am feeling like I am being molded to live in agreement with God's will for me. And the way that I can best, you know, find this out is through prayer and meditation. That it is really important that I sit in quiet, you know, time and invite my higher power in to be my director. And, you know, and I have ideals for my relationship. And I, you know, when I look at my past with my family, specifically with my husband, I acted like a princess. You know, I acted entitled. For years I sat on the couch like that was my command seat, while, you know, while I blamed my, like, my inability to interact on morbid obesity. But the truth is, I was the one that was putting that food in my mouth, choosing to sit on the couch. And so oftentimes what comes to me and my ideals is, like, help out. Like, get up and help. And, you know, like, even, like, really brief, the other day I was irritated with my husband for his driving. I felt like he was short-tempered and he got hot, you know, under the collar at someone in the parking lot. And I'm trying to school him on, you know, this great, wonderful, you know, letting go kind of thing. And you know what came to me in my prayer and meditation? How about you drive? Like, how about you do that? And that seems to be the direction that oftentimes my creator gives me, to, like, stop being entitled. You know, you're not a princess. You can actually participate a little bit. Why don't you give other people a break, you know, and pitch in. And that requires growth and, guess what, discomfort, because I'd rather sit in the command seat and bark out orders. But not really, because that led me to morbid obesity and bondage with the food, and I don't have to live that way today. And, yeah, with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Melissa C. from New York. Next up, we have Carolyn S. But Carolyn, hey, before you start, let me remind everybody where we're at. We are in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's a good start. We're in How It Works, page 69, third paragraph. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, reading through that one paragraph with the right answer will come if we want it. So after Carolyn, we'll be taking some more names. Hey, Carolyn, good morning.
Hey, good morning. So happy to be here. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, but never cured. This paragraph, like almost every other paragraph in my ancient falling apart big book, means a lot. There's a lot in here. I would start with the, hold on a second. Let me make some notes here. So we ask in meditation, we ask God what we should do, about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it and stay in recovery. The right answer, that's intuition. And for me, it's a feeling in my gut. If I feel uncomfortable, I know that what I'm about to do is not God's will. Right now, my husband has his own business and it's not doing as well as it was last year for various reasons. And what was I going to say? All right, so yeah, money is an issue, but I don't not remember the connection. I'm sorry, I have ADHD. But then the next thing was, we treat sex like we would any other problem. So we do the sheets, and there's no different way to sponsor about sex. There's not just sex in the physical sense, it's being physically attracted to somebody, and also it's about relationships in general, even when they don't have any sex connection. And for my sex, quote unquote, ideal, what is it? Sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. And I would say, and other relationships. So, I mean, there's just so much here. And, I really need to start writing in my new big book, because this one is barely legible and literally there's like five pieces. So I am looking forward to, I bought another copy. I'm looking forward to going in and not highlighting every single sentence virtually. So that's it. And I will pass with that. Bye.
Well, thanks so much, Carolyn S. from New York. All right, guys, we're going to open up the meeting again for sharing. And just a reminder that if you shared in the last 3 days, meaning yesterday or last Friday, please give others the opportunity to share. So who would like to share on the paragraph we just read?
Erin K. in Michigan.
Erin?
Craig, yes.
Somebody else? Hey, Craig.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Christina.
Barbara G.
Barbara G.
Reva P.
Reva P. Here's, I think I might have missed somebody when Erin came in. I got Erin, Craig, Vasa, Christina, Barbara, and Reva. Did I miss somebody? Maybe not. All right. Well, let's get started. Everybody will press star one, so we'll have a nice quiet meeting. We'll get started with Erin K. and then Craig F. Good morning, Erin.
Morning, Kelly. Thank you for your service. This is Erin K. in Michigan. I like that last sentence, the right answer will come if we want it. And it, that word want stuck out, and it occurred to me, you know, when I want something, I'm relentless in pursuit of it, you know, and it's like I'm a dog wanting a bone. And I have, you know, I was thinking like, you know, am I as relentless in pursuing, you know, God's answers, in pursuing truth, clarity, intuition with the same dogged determination that I apply to, you know, the perfect pair of shoes? Or, you know, how often did I drive to three stores to get? If I'm not relentlessly pursuing these right answers and the growth that this paragraph is talking about, you know, what's going on there? Why don't I want those things as much? It's usually, I think, because, you know, in my fear-based thinking, you know, I have my own ideas about what I need to be okay and what I need to pursue to be okay. And I think, you know, it, in those times when I feel like I don't want the right things, it occurs to me I can ask God to help me with that. So, yeah, that's what I... It came up for me this morning. I appreciate everyone's shares. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Erin K. from Michigan. Next up, Craig F., followed by Vasa O. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Kelly. This is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I thought I had better share because so far we've had a great lineup, great shares, but it's all been women, and I was afraid somebody might get the impression that men don't have to do this process. Well, no, that ain't true. But the thing that occurs to me about this thing is when building the ideal and knowing who to make amends to, knowing who we've harmed, sometimes the easiest way to get to that, to building that ideal and to seeing, is to look at who's harmed us. And I know that it kind of goes against, you know, it's not what we're here to do. But the fact is, when I say that treating me a certain way is very important, you know, or that, then I have to look and say, where have I not treated others that way? When I point a finger at somebody, I've got three fingers pointing back at me and one thumb pointing up at God. And so by doing that, by looking at that, I can get in better touch with why it's so important. And I can get in better touch with where I have been that way? Where have I been manipulative? Where have I been harmed other people? And, you know, it helped me a lot. It helps me a lot to look at that. We had a friend here in Tulsa that used to say it's okay to take everybody else's inventory in a meeting, as long as you, when you work your way all the way around the room, that you don't forget to do your own when you get back to yourself. And that's kind of what I'm getting to, is that we hone that skill sometimes by looking at how others have harmed us. We can look and see better than finally through when with the humility that these steps bring us to, we can see better our own faults and our own bad actions. And it says the answers will come. The answers will come if we want it. The right answer will come if we want it. That if I pray to God and I ask God and I'm earnestly seeking the right answer, if I'm earnestly seeking the right answer about what to make amends for, who to make amends to, and how to do it, that answer will come. And it'll come with feedback from a sponsor. It'll come with feedback from my fellows, from my God squad, sometimes that, you know, find somebody that's had similar experiences and let God's light shine through them. I talked long so that you'd have a chance to do that. So I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Craig. That's my friend from Oklahoma, fellow Okie. All right, next up we have Vasa O, followed by Christina J. Hey, good morning, Vasa. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, everyone. I'm calling from Foxborough. No, I'm calling from Florida, Port Charlotte, Florida. And I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, as I said, calling from Florida. Wow, I'm so glad that this part was of the inventory, the sex part was at last, and I went and said, oh, no sweat. My husband and, well, the guy that I was dating, we didn't have real sex till we got married. And I said, I have nothing to write about it, you know. And my sponsor said, well, you know, let's see about the fantasies and let's look at the flirtation and different things, you know, with boyfriends and stuff. So I had to write down the people that I had fantasy or people I had contact with, short little relationship, and with every one of them. And later on, I needed to make some kind of amends, and I didn't have to make other amends. It didn't matter. But I blame my husband or my boyfriend. I dated him for 4 years. For my unhappiness, I thought he should just lift me up. He should just praise me. I should be his princess. And he's not that kind of a guy, you know. And I'm so grateful working the steps and being here. God has showed me, you know, the transformation happens by working the steps. And I was that person, selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate. It was so hard to look at me. It was so, and to admit that was that person. But the truth was. And, you know, here I come to OA. I lose the weight, then, you know, I'm going to go find somebody else that's going to really love me and adore me. Well, you know, I looked around a little bit, and I'm so grateful I stayed with my marriage. And for me, I needed to make living amends to my husband. And he gave me the man that I needed in my own home, and not to be fantasizing and flirting and looking outside for my marriage. So for me, it was, you know, that was the hardest thing to do, to accept him for the person that he is. And we did go outside and get counseling done. But the problem was really me. It wasn't him. No, he's a human being, and I'm a human being. We've done mistakes over the years. But, you know, I was 42 years old, and I was going to divorce me, and I was going to find somebody else to love me. Well, I am with the same man. I'm 79 years old, and our marriage has never been so much better. since I started working the program. God is doing for me what he did with the food addiction, with the relationship with my husband, and relationships other that I had. I was a very jealous woman, you know. It's so hard to admit that, but that's the truth. Thank you for letting me share, and I feel good about myself today, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Vasa O. from Florida. All right, next up, Christina J., followed by Barbara G. Good morning, Christina.
Hey, Kelly. Hey, everybody. Christina J. in North Carolina. Yeah, you know, I just listened to these meetings the last few days on this topic, and what a beautiful healing many of us had around this, have had, and continue to have. This big book is stunning. The program, the process it takes us through to uncover all these things and to see them and be humble enough to share them and open up our hearts. You know, if you walk around with all this stuff stuck in your body, you know, someone shared on the meeting, some meeting I was listening to, you know, all my emotions were in my cells, all my hurts, all my everything was in my cells and in my fat. When I lost the fat, all that stuff just began to reveal itself. So I just find this to be beautiful. This is a beautiful process of healing here. And some of us need outside therapy for the deeper stuff, but that's all right. This program can take you on a journey into very deep parts. Anyway, I wanted to share two things. One of them was, you know, I had to have an experiential moment with this flirting thing because I said no more affairs at all. But I was working at this place before I had my full first round of really good recovery, and there was this guy there, and I wasn't flirting at all. But he started flirting with me. And from my wound as a child, I loved any kind of male attention. And it just validated the fact that my dad should have loved me. You know, so that little girl in me began to suck that up. Boy, oh boy, did she ever. And I would, since I had a boundary, it was kind of a weird place. You're kind of like wanting to do it, but you don't do it. You want to flirt. You know, and one morning, this is how far it went. I went down, I put a note on his desk. This is almost embarrassing for me to say, but you know, I said, good morning, blue eyes. And then I went back up to my desk, you know, and then all of a sudden God said, what are you doing? That was my experiential moment. I am falling into the pit. I ran downstairs praying he wasn't there yet. And I got the note and I was horrified at myself, just horrified. But see, that is the journey. We begin to wake up to what we're doing and the wounds inside of us. And then I was thinking about a few years ago when I was sponsoring someone. I had a couple sponsors in my early days of sponsoring, and I would get into their personal stuff with them, and I would begin to kind of share my opinion and my thought process and what I thought maybe they should do in a roundabout way, you know, being real subtle with it because I thought I knew from my own experience what they should do. That's not my business. And I hurt them both. I hurt them both. One pulled away from me violently, and the other one just cut me off. And that hurt really bad because, you know, me and my rejection problem. Anyway, so I made amends. Man, I made amends. And one I have a very lovely relationship with today, and the other one still won't have anything to do with me, but that's not my business. But it still hurts. I have to tell you, it still hurts. So in relationships in general, especially with our sponsees and our husbands and our precious loved ones, I mean, I have to walk carefully. I have to walk carefully and really look at what I want. What
that's fine,
am I doing?
Christina.
So anyway, beautiful process, and I love you all, and I'm so excited for all of you healing in the ways you're healing, and me too. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Christina J. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Barbara G., followed by Reva P. Hey, good morning, Barbara. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. My name is Barbara G., and I am calling from Davis, California. And I am very, very grateful. It's been a long time since I have not shared at this meeting after I moved from Europe to the U.S. And I needed to be here this morning. My higher power had plans for me to hear all the shares that were given this morning. And the nine-step amends have changed my life. And the practice of the amends changed my ideals because it took me so much effort to, and I'll say, lose my pride, which was not, of course, the case. But this what it felt like at the time, to go up to people I had harmed or I had thought I had harmed, and to people I hadn't been in contact for years. That was very, very, it was intense. It required a lot of effort on my part, but it was so good. And the results were so great that, and the investment and the commitment and the engagement on my part was so entire that pushed me to really change my ideals afterwards. It was like how many times in my life I had thought I should change. I had thought I should stop flirting or stop being nasty at my mom or being awful to my sister or being a more decent friend. I had thought many times to do that. But while in the food, those thoughts, as we know well, were just mere thoughts. And it was the amend that really changed those ideals, because they made them become practice. And of course, it's a journey, and of course, it's a one day at a time experience. And the other day, I was watching a movie, and I do want to share this because there is a, I mean, this is who I am, and this is. If I am a little bit different today, it's because I practice this program and I need to I need to practice this program. So the other day I was watching a movie which was talking about a guy who had mental illness issues, kind of lost his temper very often and became violent. He was in a program for mental health, and I could identify with this person. And it was a bit, I was embarrassed with myself, because today those days seems to be so far away, where I would lose my temper, would become violent.
That's time, Barbara.
And thank you, Kelly. And I'm going to close and wrap up by saying that that spurred in me a lot of gratitude. And talking about ideals, I am forever grateful to this program, because it has, and it still does, helped me to shape my ideals one day at a time, because it has woken me up to the fact that I have power greater than myself supporting me, and to which I can rely. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara G. from California. And next up, we have Reva P. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. You know, for me, this business of being willing to grow towards the ideal is a revelation. When I moved from doing the inventory about my resentments, which were all focused on everybody else and how everybody else should be, and I had ideals for everybody else, including my sex ideals and my husband, who's the biggest work I do in inventory, is the people who are the closest to me. And it was just like so much in this program, you know, the 180 degree shift where the finger points at me. When I was asked, what is the wife, the partner that God would have me be, as opposed to how my husband should be? It's like, what? That was just such an eye-opener. Like, what is it like living with Reva? And how would God have me be? And the whole idea of growth, that throughout my life, I need to continue to grow, and ideals and how I need to be changes. And I need to be open and clear, so I can see that. And then I love how it ends. We treat this like anything else. Well, how do I treat everything else? I ask God what I should be, what I should do about every situation. So it's such a great reminder for me. You know, step 4 gets a lot of attention. Even step 10 gets a lot of attention, the writing, the sharing. And I can get feedback, which is super helpful, because a solitary self-appraisal usually is insufficient for me, like it says in the book. but I always need to get quiet. You know, after step 10 comes 11. Even after step 4 and 5, there's that quiet hour, and I ask God. And until otherwise notified, I don't take action, but I ask God, and God shows me that still small voice. So I talk, but then I have to listen. And it's a great, that's the final authority. That's the final authority. It doesn't matter, you know, how many meetings and how many people, God shows me what is the woman he would have me be in all my relationships. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Reba P. From Canada, for taking us out this morning. So thank you to everyone who shared and everybody who joined us. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, in case you want to hear it again or share it with somebody, today, January 7th, 2025, in case you don't know what date is because I never know myself, the code is 22057, 22057. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Hey, Craig, will you please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I will. Still Craig F., recovering in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us, asking in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but you obviously cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.